machine is off, and I'm off.
All right. We're studying Luke. Still, we're going to be in Luke forever. We're in verse 33. We said, studied yesterday what it means to sell everything and give alms to the poor. Well, alms by definition is giving to the poor. That's the whole meaning of it. And it comes from the word eleos, or mercy. Why is mercy so often forgotten? We receive tons of mercy and then we forget, and then we don't treat others with the same mercy. And all of us do it.
I guess we like, a lot of people like to be righteous. It's more important than being merciful or self-righteous.
Well, it's important to understand that that's what the idea of an angel unawares is. It's somebody that bothers you, or somebody that you don't show mercy to, is your opportunity to repent. And that's what it means, where you've had an angel unaware. So mercy is everything. And if we don't have that, then we're of all men most miserable. I can't even believe the mercy. I mean, when I think about my life. Anyway, that's another story. Verse 33, sell you that you have, give alms, provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither man moth corrupteth. And the bags which wax not old, is that doesn't mean getting one of those $800 purses. It means the bag or the purse that you have is in the heavenlies. Lay up treasure in the heavens where there's no thief. Anyway, we could study that all day.
Let me ask you about your mercy here. Do you have, like when you're in a situation where mercy is required, is it just you just give it automatically, or do you get reminded of that?
It's situational. I mean, the one that I wrote about is that I was at Highland Park Cafeteria, and I only had like $2 or $3 left after I bought my meal, and the guy came up and asked me for a dollar. And I sloughed him off. And it just ate me up.
Instantly?
No. It took me until I was driving back. I was on my way back here.
Yeah.
And then I went back and tried to find him, and I couldn't. And it's easy to rationalize it some way. But it bothered me to such an extent that I wrote a last word about it. And it has to be the hallmark of who we are, showing mercy. What? You're about to...
I'm thinking it's like the preaching. If it's never preached, if it's never heard or felt or experienced, there's nothing in there that will trigger that response. But if you receive that mercy, and when you get it, it's overwhelming. I don't think you can forget it.
Oh, yes, you can. That's part of that. You may may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, because it's just like you, people say, well, you know, I forget the preaching when I walk out the door. Well, that's, you know. Anyhow. Where no thief approacheth. We're going to talk a minute about thief. It's where we get the word for kleptomania. Klepto is the thief in Greek. And it has two meanings. One is the literal sense, and the other is applied to false teachers. And it's interesting that it is. So let's look at the figurative sense. Let's go to Revelation. Let's look at a bunch of them. Not a bunch, but some. Let's go to Revelation. We'll start backwards. Revelation 3. Well, it's not just applied to the literal meaning and the figurative. The figurative meaning has two sides to it. One is false teachers, but the other, it's applied to Christ as coming as a thief in the night. So let's look at that. This is to the church at Sardi. And unto the angel of the church in Sardi write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, and that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardi, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before angels, his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The idea that the end comes as a thief in the night. You have to have on the right garment. And the white is the righteousness of Christ. And if we have anything else, and if a garment spotted by the flesh, we're left behind. All right, let's go to Revelation 16. See the same thing again.
I'm just thinking that this human mind, I don't know about all of them, is so evil, it's making me forget my point right now.
Well, there's nothing, there is, that's why you can't use, you got to get out of using your mind. You can't use your mind for anything. Your mind cannot have faith. It is enmity against God. It's not subject to God, neither indeed can it be. What?
That's mind stuff.
Verse 15 of Revelation 16. again, it's just, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. All right, let's look at some more. Let's look at 2 Peter.
Oh, he came back. It's like my mind can't do anything but hear what's being said and turn it into behavior. If I change my behavior, I'll fulfill this scripture. So it's like that's not the gospel. Gospel is Jesus Christ and who he is,
right?
Not Gary Butler and what he does.
But can you see the reason that takes place is because you use your mind, you give breath to your mind to try to understand it with your mind instead of understanding by repentance. The moment you try to use your mind, you've fallen from a strong city. It's you've got to see it. It says, because you're hardwired to use your mind.
Yeah.
That's why you have to be dead and see yourself as dead and not have any reason to return to your mind or give breath to your mind or your emotions. That's why only the without faith, and faith, this thing can't have faith.
Right.
So,
if you don't have that locked in, your mind has no governors, no nothing. It just goes there. That's all it can do.
Yeah, but you gotta see that that's what happened. We are supposed to have, that is supposed to have been gone. The mind is supposed to have been seen for what it is at baptism. That's the reason we got baptized, so we could bury the son of a bitch. Now, if again, the first century church baptized probably more than we do in terms of oftenness of it. But the purpose is to always, so that you, if you have resurrected the evil one, then you can bury this. We got to go bury this, bury him again. So that you're not, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but when you use your mind to try to understand the mystery of God, then you've resurrected the evil one. And he stays resurrected until you repent. And repentance is death.
Is the resurrection of the evil one an act of will, or is it what he's able to?
No, it's not an act of will. It's an act of using the mind for any purpose or paying attention to the emotions for any person purpose.
That's kind of my point. Emotions just spring up. You don't say, I'm going to emote now.
No, because that's why it's you don't have to do it because you don't have to use your mind. But if you use your mind, that's why it says take no thought, take no thought, take no thought. If you use your mind, then you've automatically resurrected it from the dead. If you use your mind for any reason.
So then you gotta
stay in that position. You think you're doing everything according to the will of God and God's helping you and fixing you. But it's you just another Gentile. Putting a label on yourself that has no meaning. That's why he doesn't see he doesn't even care what the outward action is. He sees the inward. And if the inward is the same as the mind of Christ, then that's having on the right garment. Does everybody see that? Or do you have a problem with it? Or can you discuss it?
When you try to use your mind, then the motivator is activated. sitting here not aware of doing anything, and when some words were spoken, something rose up. I didn't motivate it to do it. It happened.
Yeah, but the point of it is, more than likely, it's been raised up for more, not just at that point. It was raised up before. You've raised him from his deadly head wound for another thing you forgot about. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. And I heard a voice from heaven speaking, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them." So the idea of, by being dead in the Lord, then you, the three things that everybody, if you name the name of Christ, you want to do is you have the patience of the saints, you want to keep the commandments of God, and the faith of Jesus Christ. That only happens at death. But resurrecting the evil one for any reason, if the garment is spotted by the flesh again, you're just running around like another Gentile. No use of the mind is justified. Emptying is all that's justified in the scriptures.
Yeah.
But you've got to use the mind until you see that. But you use the mind. Come now, let us reason together. And you take reason to the highest order with any integrity at all, and you'll see the end. Your skin is a scarlet. You can't possibly, there's nobody that with any integrity, if he analyzes his own life, has to know that he deserves death. But some of us think we're right about stuff. And all hell breaks loose again. You got to start over. You've crucified the Son of God afresh. Does everybody understand?
Well, it's a function of, for me, of it happens in the way.
What?
Happens in what?
In the way.
In the way.
I don't know what that means.
Christ is the way and the truth and the life, and we are in him, and in the way things take place.
But this has to be negated.
Well, you say that it's all done in baptism, but that in fact isn't true. It's true eternally, and that's given, but then all kinds of things happen, and everybody who gets baptized, after they're baptized, things happen.
Right.
And I say it's the test of faith.
But that's the test of no faith.
Okay, you say test of no faith. Fine. Test either way to be responded to by either the remembrance of preaching, seeing what God has done, recalling.
No, it's always it's responded to by repentance only.
But you don't repent of nothing. You repent because there's a reason to repent.
Okay? You repent if I am the slightest tempted to use my mind for some reason, I repent.
Only because you see something taking place, and you say, "That's my mind."
No, I don't. It's the senses have been exercised to know the instant I use my mind.
I'll take it down to a real tiny second. It's still there's some time in there where this transaction has to
right, and then at that moment I repent.
Okay.
That second, that split second.
All right, so maybe the other people take 3 seconds or whatever. The time is not the issue, it's the transaction that triggers something in you to say.
But that's why the preaching of the cross is your death. The preaching of the cross is the power of God.
Well, I'm not denying that. That's what I preach.
But you're somehow seemingly justifying using your mind. That's what it sounds like.
It's not using the mind. It's what happens because we're alive in this flesh. And that's what I was saying about the motivation. Do I say, I better try and work this out? And then I start using my mind to figure out what's going on.
Is there any part of your life where you use your mind and think it's necessary to use your mind?
When I'm doing proposals or doing my planning a day for jobs, I assume that's my mind.
So, but again, so then you have, if I'm right, then you automatically, by that action, you've resurrected the evil one. But you think it's necessary.
Well,
just bear with me a minute.
All right.
You think it's necessary, and so it is, in a sense, it is justifying sin. That's why I keep saying, if you're doing something that is in any way resurrecting the evil one, taking you inward for any reason, then that's confessed to the Father and said, I don't know what else to do. But it's not justified. But if you think it's necessary, then you've justified it.
On the other hand, it's what's set before me to do.
But again,
so
you can be set before you to do, what, just respond without the thought process. I'm asking you to do is to consider that you may have justified sin.
That's quite possible.
And all I'm asking you to do is, I'm not trying to get you to change anything. I'm asking you to see that if it's not of faith, it's sin. And so when you see that, you have to say to the Father, Father, help me. I don't know what else to do. Then it puts it all on his plate, not on yours. And you don't, by nature, justify returning to the evil one. Now, that's all I'm saying to anybody.
Well, I feel like I justified sin on Sunday. I went over the edge to move a furniture that was huge, going through these narrow doorways. And I went over there. I was repentant, or I went there in faith. I had no expectation that I was doing what was before me. I had no concern. I wasn't worried about a damn thing. And it turned out to be almost impossible. And then I justified sin by turning to my mind, and I said, this is the way we can get these things through the door. Turn them vertically, put them on cardboard, and slide them. My gosh, that's what, if I hadn't thought of that, that stuff wouldn't have happened. Would still be sitting in the center.
Look.
So
all I'm asking you to do.
Wait, I have one last thing. But I know how I've been in my life, and I know how I responded to situations in a very Christ-like way. Where I, damn thing didn't get through here, and blah, blah, blah. Getting all torque, and it was calming and a relief to be so calm. And the light came on. Maybe it was, I didn't ask for God's help. Maybe he just revealed something to me. And so what happened, solved the problem, and we both stayed calm. And when it was rather frustrating, it seemed like it was such a
okay, listen, this is critical. Do all of you accept that your mind is evil beyond, it's the only enemy of God in the face of the earth?
That's what it says.
Right, yeah. And it's not subject to the law of God, therefore it cannot be of faith.
So if you ever have to, if you ever think you have to use it, then there's something is amiss. Because you're in a sense saying, just as Christ did to the Jews that believed on him, he said, you are now of your father the devil because you're using this thing. Now, all I'm asking you to do is if you, instead of justifying it by saying it's a necessary thing in order for me to do what's set before me, then all I'm asking you to do is say, Father, I don't know what else to do. I don't know how to live like your word apparently tells me to. So that you're never in a position of justifying what you're doing. It's putting everything back on the Father. So on the altar, it's always, then it's his business then. But if you continue in the thing that you know now is coming from sin or of sin, then you justify yourself automatically. And you do it by saying, it's necessary for me to do that in order to do this. All I'm asking each one of you to do is if you find yourself doing that, I'm telling you what to do. I don't care what you do. I care that you know what sin is. And I care that you know what the preaching of the cross is. And so if you find yourself in a position where you feel you have to use your mind for this or that, then simply say, Father, I don't know what else to do. Because if you don't, then the evil one will hold sway at his pleasure. And you won't even know it's of him.
What you just said is a relief to me because I know I'm going to use my mind at times. I'm going to justify it. I'm going to ask whatever that phrase was you said, Father, forgive me, for I have leaned up my own arm of understanding to do this. That's going to happen. I know it.
I promise you. I don't care if you do it a whole lot less. If you do it once, then you return to the garment of, you've got the garment spotted. And the more you understand this, the more you live it, the more repentance, then slowly but surely you find that God is moving in a way that you couldn't even imagine to meet every possible need you have without leaning on the arm of the flesh. But if you're justifying using it, then you're saying to God, screw you.
That's very possible what happened Sunday. I didn't use my mind.
It may very well have been
moving in my life, and I wasn't even aware of it. No voice that spoke to me.
All right, let's go to Proverbs 3.
Think of what would Jesus do if he were a general contractor? Would it be any different than what I do?
All right, we have to go up and help Pete. We'll have to continue this tomorrow. Take it, big guy.